Today is July 29th, year 2007, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, and also the feast day of St. Martha. Sister of Mary, I think Magdalene.
Yeah.
And of course, close friend of Jesus. We're going to start out with our news report, and we're going to start out with what was going on over there in the Middle East again with the Hamas and the Palestinians. And we mentioned this sometime before in one of our sermons that democracy is really an illusion because the people who have the money and power are really the rulers. They just like to give you the illusion of freedom. And even the whole illusion of freedom is evil in itself because people really aren't free to do what they want. They have the free will to do it, but they don't have the right to do it. And when they do things that are against God's commandments, our Lord Jesus says you're a slave. He says that in 2 Peter 2:19, promising them liberty, whereas they themselves are slaves of corruption. That's not true freedom anyway. But the point is the hypocrisy of the United States. Whenever somebody does get democratically elected after they set up their democratic government, and the United States doesn't like the guy, and somehow he gets in. They have a campaign against that guy to oust him from office. And then all of a sudden, democracy doesn't matter anymore. They go against the rules. Well, they did this when the Palestinians overwhelmingly elect the Hamas group, who are militantly against the state of Israel, the Antichrist state of Israel, where it is today. And the United States didn't like that. They panicked when that happened. But the Hamas group said, hey, if you're saying the people have a right to vote, they voted in the Hamas government, you're hypocrites, and if you're going to come in and try to say that and not recognize our government, then you're not really, really supporting democracy. You're lying. You're supporting the people who the puppets that you put in power, and if their puppets conform to the United States and the harlot's way of doing things, then the United States condones that guy and leaves him in office. If not, and this was a real blatant act because the United States went, even after they were democratically elected, the United States said we don't recognize them as the leaders in Palestine and removed their diplomats. This is after the people even elected them. That would be like in this country if we elected a Catholic guy and really wanted to have certain, and then somebody comes in and says you have no right to do that, you know, because we don't like this type of a Catholic guy because he's too militant or whatever. Hey, buddy, he was democratically elected. We, the people, don't we get to vote? So the hypocrisy stinks to the high heavens. And you're reading in here, even recently, what's going on there as a result of that. The United States went over there and started seeding rebellion and sedition in that group so that the liberal, more, I say, Masonic-type Palestinians that are going along with the one world government people, along with the United States because of temporal gain or whatever reason, the United States instigated and supported them to fight against the Hamas group, so there's a civil war going on in Palestine. And you'll read from this news report, which is titled U.S. Strength and Support Offered to Abbas, and he's a leader of the liberal Masonic, what I call, or at least the one world government Palestinian people that want to make some type of a deal with the United States and accept Israel, and they're not like the Hamas group that is fighting against the Masonic harlot and the state of the Antichrist state of Israel. So here's it was on June 16th, year 2007, and we read from the report. It was by Karen Laub. The U.S. strengthened its offer to support of support for President Mahmoud Abbas on Saturday, telling him an international aid embargo against the Palestinians would end as soon as he forms a new government without Hamas, aides to Abbas said. In other words, they're saying, kick the Hamas out, then only we will support you. I want Hamas out. But they were democratically elected. But the United States now got caught. A lot of times it doesn't even get that far. Because if you look in Palestine's early years, when an election comes up and there's a guy the United States doesn't like, they usually have the sufficient economic means and subversive techniques so that guy doesn't get elected. Even if they got to rig the election or scare him, whatever they do, or kill the guy, assassinate him. This guy got in and they said, we don't want him. And so he went against their own rules by saying, hey, he's democratic, I don't care. I don't want him in the government. Now, damn, you want the Hamas in the government at all to give him any voice. So the United States and European Union have backed Abbas in light of the upheaval that has remade the Palestinian territories. Jacob Wallace, the American Consul General in Jerusalem, and Saturday he expects Washington to lift the 15-month economic embargo. So what did the United States do to the Palestinians? When Hamas was in power, they put an embargo on them too. And we're starving them out, literally trying to starve them out and take away what? Economic goods. So the Palestinians that are greedy and more greedy and they're materialistic are going to panic at this kind of stuff and make a deal with the United States. But the Hamas, who are more convicted even in their false religion, are not going to go for that. And so they're going to use these more liberal, more materialistic Palestinians to fight against the Hamas, who was democratically elected. And it goes on to say, I expect that we are going to be engaged with this government, Wallace said. I expect that early next week there will be some announcements in Washington, specifically our assistance and about the financial regulations. Okay, so you see how the United States bribes people. But in this case, there's a double hypocrisy because the United States actually came right out and said, all bets are off because you didn't elect the guy we want to be elected. That would almost be akin to saying, let's say we have these democratic elections and the harlot Hillary Clinton gets elected, you know? And then the United States may come out and say, hey, we don't want her in there. We're going to nullify the election. Well, they haven't never done that in the United States, and they don't have to because both parties are infected by Masonic people or one world government people that are favoring Antichrist Israel and the one world plot to come to power. They're all fake. You don't get that high in American politics, United States politics, unless you're a player. So whoever gets in is going to serve the Jews. So it doesn't matter to them that much. Either side don't matter. You know, and I'm of the opinion, this is a side note, that when the Antichrist comes to power, you're going to have a woman ruling in the United States representing the harlot. It's a perfect representation of Apocalypse 18. The United States is this physical harlot that corrupts the world, and the apostate Rome is the spiritual harlot that corrupts the world spiritually through false ecumenism and all types of heresies and apostasies gathering together the world religions. But I am the firm opinion you're going to have a woman president ruling when Antichrist comes to power, and then it says the Antichrist no longer needs the harlot because he used her to come to power. He's going to throw her off and kill her and the United States and destroy the United States. That's going to happen. You're going to have a woman ruling as president. It could be Hillary Clinton. It could be some other woman. But the point is, on elections all over here in the Hamas, this guy got elected according to valid democratic principles after they put that government in there. And the United States says, no, I don't like the guy. Let's do this whole thing over again and kick them out. So it just shows their hypocrisy. That if the United States can't buy you by a bribe, if they can't assassinate the candidate, if they can't otherwise influence the election to put their puppet in there, and somehow a guy like this Hamas guy gets in and gets elected, they're going to resort to the last thing, which is just declare it null and void, which is totally against the democratic principles. So you're not really interested in democracy, are you? You're interested in your one world government plan, which is just to prepare the world for the Antichrist and subvert it by all types of immoral perversions and also heresies and apostasies and idolatries. That's the goal of democracy. And as I said even before, even if democracy was a viable government, which it's not, it's an abomination to God because it's usurping of God's order. It has people ruling instead of single man order. It destroys hierarchic. We're not going to go into that now. Okay, now the second news report we're going to go into is something I talked about a couple weeks ago about how the Jews are on the ropes with this anti-Semitism thing, and a lot of people are beginning to wake up to their ploys. There are. Because a lot of people like us working in the background, and it's growing, chipping away, and as I said, Mel Gibson's movie was a major, major, major event, and turning people to look at the Jews as being evil. Hey, wait a second, not all Jews are good. Jews did kill Christ. You guys are lying if you deny it. It's throughout the Gospels. So let's stop glorifying the Jewish race and pretend that all Jews are good. And then when some logical people, even with goodwill, even if they're not Catholics or Protestants or whatever, and they can see the Jews claiming that they didn't kill Christ, they're going to say, you guys are lying. You know. And they're beginning to realize that the Jews are using the racial card when really the whole thing with us Catholics is that the Jews of today are evil because of their false beliefs and their rebellion against God. But anyway, and I also said about that Mark Levin, his movie, The Protocols of Zion, is another major move that opened up people to start looking at the protocols and seeing that the Jews are really behind this. And I mentioned Jimmy Carter's book in the agreement with Baker when he went over there, that even these leaders, even the Masonic guys are going to start wising up to this. They're still human beings, these Masonic guys with the free will, as bad as they are, as evil as they are for becoming Freemasons, they could convert, they could get angry and finally say, I'm sick and tired of this Freemasonic agenda of bringing Israel power. It's imbibed in all the Freemasonic orders. Everything in there is imbibed for them to bring Antichrist Israel power. And they could get sick and tired of it, quite literally, and say, I'm fed up with it. And this is what's happened with some of these guys. Now, to know that we have been making inroads against the apostate Jews, and I said this is necessary for us to get a small group of zealous converts, and God has to lift up the veil a little bit of this illusion that the Jews have put upon the world so we can get converts. Without God exposing these Jews as phonies, to goodwill people, there's no converts. That's happening now. It's only going to happen with a few people, because most of the people in the world are going to follow the Antichrist. So the majority of the people in the world, it's in scriptures, are going to fall for the Jewish lies, and they're going to serve the Antichrist, but not everybody. So we have a little door opening here for us, which is going to get us to start converting goodwill people. And that's what's going to get the Jews to start to want to close that door down quick with a full coming to power in physical manner with a war that takes place in one day, limited nuclear strikes around the world, and then the Antichrist has to come to full power to shut everything down. Because he's going to begin to see that people are starting to convert into the Catholic Church, or at least in the process of converting by finding out who the real enemy, the worst enemies are, and what the Jews are doing. But anyway, we have a report from the Jerusalem Post that shows how worried the Jews are now. So to say, they're shaking in their boots. And the Jews are very wise and diligent in this area to do evil. They're very wise at doing evil. They know that if you jump on this thing right away, you can sort of make an attack on it. But as I said before, they're sort of up against the wall. Because the more they talk about it, the more they're giving it publicity, but they have to talk about it because it's still growing. And Mel's movie really was the thing that turned this thing upside down on them, and now they've been fighting a defensive battle since then. But we're going to read to show you how panicky they are, and how they are realizing what they call anti-Semitism, as we always say, by the way, is not anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism in its true sense means you hate a Jew because of his race, and that is racism. But that's not the way they use the term. Anti-Semitism, when they say it, it means that if you call a Jew evil for any reason. So if you ever came up and said a Jew is evil because he believes in a false god, or a Jew is evil because he committed adultery, or a Jew is evil because he's a thief and he steals, or a Jew is evil because he worships Buddha, or he worships his Talmudic Jewish god, they call that anti-Semitism. Or is a Jew is evil because he illegally occupies Israel and he oppresses the Palestinians. Whatever reason it is you may want to call a Jew evil, other than race, for legitimate reasons that you believe, they call that anti-Semitism. So you're not allowed to criticize a Jew for anything. The minute you do, they say you're a racist. And it has nothing to do with race whatsoever. But we're going to read from the Jerusalem Post article called Jews Worldwide Should Fight Back. And it was written by Saul Elbain on June 24th, year 2007. While anti-Semitism is gaining ground both in Europe and the United States, Jews must fight back without being intimidated. Anti-Defamation League National Director Abraham Foxman told the Jerusalem Post Sunday. The new form of American anti-Semitism, he said, is not unlike the old claims that Jews run the banks, the newspapers, Hollywood. The old claims. What are they doing? The old claims. What do you mean? It ain't happening now? You jackass. You devil. They even admit it. Are you kidding me? The old claims. You know. The difference is that is now the perception is gaining ground in the mainstream. So he's going, it used to be just a few people believe Jews control. Open up your Jewish encyclopedia and they're the first ones to say we control everything. Even today, we control the news organs, we control Hollywood, we control the garment district, we control everything in the world. They're the first ones to admit it. And he's trying to go like, do you believe they're actually saying this thing? Now he's saying more people are beginning to believe this. What he's really saying is more people are beginning to boldly resist and go against it because... When you go in people's homes, even I think that guy, what's his name, who runs Jew Watch? I think it's either Walter or one of them said something that he said something. If you're going to kick out anti-Semites according to your definition of anti-Semitism, you better kick out 75% of the Americans. Privately in their own homes, they admit the Jews control everything. They're just afraid to say it publicly. So what they're afraid about here is it's becoming more public. And more people are becoming more bold. You know, God's lifting that veil of darkness in which the devil's put the world under this great spell of the Jews, the apostate Jews. So it says, Foxman said that over the last 2 years, questions of Jews' loyalty to the United States and to what extent Jews dictate American foreign policy have been given new legitimacy. Quote, we have lived for years, but never quite like today, he said. He should say, yeah, you're on the brink of bringing your Antichrist to power. They got so much power now that even when you go against them a little bit, it seems like a big breach to them. Yeah. I said that before. Since World War II, they've been having like unanimous victories. Yeah. So that when they get a little setback, it's very disturbing to them. Yeah. Foxman cited former U.S. President Jimmy Carter's recent controversial book, Palestine Peace, Not Apartheid, as a disturbing example of the trend. At the time of the book's publication, Foxman accused Carter of engaging in anti-Semitic rhetoric and was widely pilloried for doing so. What did Carter say in the book? And here's two things. Carter's saying your occupation of Israel is tyrannical. Carter's not even saying they don't have a right to occupy it. We Catholics say they don't have a right. From God's perspective, they don't. That's the first reason the Jews don't belong there is because they didn't accept Jesus Christ. And Christ says you shall never have a homeland until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. But Jesus also said in the final days there's going to be an abomination of desolation in a place where it doesn't belong. That's apostate Israel today over there. So that's the reason we know. But Carter's taken it from a different angle, but he's still perceiving their tyrannical behavior, the way they're treating the Palestinians. It's really, truly tyrannical behavior and some of their evil things they're doing. Now, we're not against war and all these things. I go into that also. But he is still showing some of the gross injustices that the Israelis and their lies and their perpetrations and crimes against the Palestinians. That's all really Carter is saying. And he's not saying against all Jews. He's saying some of you Jews, you hawks out there, are behaving tyrannical. You're unjustly punishing the Palestinians and you're resorting to lies and all kinds of brutality. That's all he said. But what do they call him? An anti-Semite. No, wait a second. What do you mean by anti-Semite? He hates all Jews because of the race? That's not what Carter said. And that's not what we're saying. First of all, we don't say we hate Jews even. And Carter didn't say he hated the Jews, but he's saying these were evil Jews. That's what Carter said. Mm-hmm. They're evil because of their tyrannical behavior. We're saying Jews are evil even more than that reason because they're against God, because they deny Christ, because they worship a false God. That's the main reason they're evil. It's not race. But the Jews keep throwing that anti-Semitic thing out, and they've got people so brainwashed, the minute they hear it, they think Carter's running around hating people because of the race. Now, you do have real people that are anti-Semites that hate Jews because of the race. They're in a minority, and they're meaningless. Most of the people who have any positions are intelligent people, even non-Catholics, who are at least having some goodwill, are not attacking the Jews on this basis. They're attacking the Jews for being evil for several different reasons. But whatever the reason is, it's not race, other than these few small group of real racists that do hate Jews because of their race. And they're meaningless. They have no power in this world whatsoever. The stupid knucklehead skinheads that put tattoos all over them, listen to hard rock music. Who cares what they say? Those guys are imbeciles. They're devils too. We don't say Jews are evil because of their race. And neither did Carter here. But what did he say? They're looking about what Carter did as an anti-Semitic act. And then they go on to say, quote, "The issue with Jimmy Carter is not that he doesn't like the wall, Israel's security barrier, he said. It's not that he loves the Palestinians." What, is he supposed to hate them? It's that a former president of the United States, this is probably Abe Foxman, it's because the former president of the United States says that he was motivated to write this book because the Jews, the Israel lobby, the AI pack, so control the means of communication in America that you cannot debate policy on Israel," end quote. Yes, precisamundo! That is what he's saying. Exactly. Who can deny it?
Exactly.
You can't get a legitimate debate on public networks that the Jews control.
Yeah.
They'll knock you right off in 2 seconds. Try to get something about the Holocaust, how it's a hoax, from the people, all the credible witnesses out there, and the scientific and the historical evidence out against it on TV on any one of the stations.
Yeah.
So is Carter wrong in what he's saying? Try to get any real legitimate criticism against Israel coming from the mainline press. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Well, are you kidding me? These Jews are pretending that, okay, and he goes and says, if you're allowed to criticize Israeli policy, then why are you criticizing Carter? He's going on saying, you believe Carter had the audacity to say that you cannot criticize policy on Israel? Well, Carter's book that he mentions here, Palestine Peace and Not Apartheid, that's what he's doing. He's criticizing Israeli policy. You're criticizing him for criticizing Israeli policy.
Yeah.
It's a circle. You can catch these bastard liars. I'll tell you something, these guys are the biggest liars that walk the face of the earth, these apostate Jews. And also anybody who follows them, like Fallen Away Catholics, these nominal so-called Catholics, profess themselves to be Catholic, but they're not. Big liars, I mean. So other examples abound, we go on to read. Other examples abound in the Israeli lobby. As an essay published last year in the London Review of Books, John Mershmeyer and Stephen Walt, professors of the University of Chicago and Harvard, respectively accused the AIPAC, they call it the APAC or something?
APAC.
And other organizations of using their power to prevent critical comments about Israel from getting a fair hearing in the political arena. Correctamundo again! Thank you for telling us what we all know anyway. And a lot of us don't want to say it in public because we're chickens.
Yeah.
We're little chickies. You're afraid you're going to lose your life or your family. What chickens we're living in, a world we're living in today, where people close their doors and say, did you know what this and you know what that?
Yeah.
You know, even when they caught Nixon talking some truth about the Jews on private and tape, and even Billy Graham, the apostate heretic, when he was even saying some of those truths, they pilloried and then they had to make amends for it, you know? The ADL and other groups slammed the essay as anti-Semitic because you criticized Israeli policy, sparking a fierce debate over the power of the Jewish interest groups. More than a few American intellectuals saw the ADL's response as proof that Mershmeyer and Walt were right. In other words, well, there you go. You know? You're just proving precisely what we're saying.
Exactly.
You know, you'll never get the full... whenever you get something on there about Mel Gibson's Passion now, it's always with the modernist professors talking about how the Jews aren't guilty.
Yeah.
And then whenever they put a so-called Catholic priest on, he's a Vatican II apostate that comes out and agrees with the heresies, you know? It's never the truth. They always want their slant on things.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't get the truth out in that press, the whole truth and nothing but the truth ever, because the Jews control it. This, Foxman said, is what made the new anti-Semitism so insidious, by claiming that the debate over American foreign policy is controlled by Jews. anti-Semitic rhetoric can be presented as the other untold side of the story. He's saying they're covering up their anti-Semitism by criticizing Israeli policy. See, because he's aware of the fact that some people go, wait a second, pal. He's just saying you got some evil Jews over there in Israel that are running the country and the military are doing some tyrannical things and oppressing the Palestinians. You mean to tell me that's anti-Semitism? He's trying to say, well, it's subtle anti-Semitism. It's not right out in the open, but it's covered up. I mean, that, you want to talk about a rash judgment?
Yeah.
You want to talk about a horrible rash judgment, an excuse? You know, and it's saying, in other words, I would challenge him and say, I want you to tell me in Jimmy Carter's book or any of my writings or any of us that we talk about the Jews being evil, I want you to find in any place where I say, or even in Carter's book, where he came out and said, Jews are evil because they're racial Jews, because they're racially Jews. Jews are tyrannical because of their race. I want to point it out for me, pal.
Yeah.
And when you don't find that, you're a stinking calumny.
Yeah.
You're a liar, and you do it to everybody. And when somebody comes out and says the Holocaust was a lie and proves historical facts, I want you to tell me where David Irving once said, or even David Cole, who's a Jew himself, once said that Jews are evil because they of their race. Show it to me, wise guys. They'll come out with a true anti-Semitic knucklehead, skinhead, but who cares about them? Those guys have no power.
Yeah.
They're in the minority. They're not
the
main movers. Right, right.
Anyway.
Right. In other words, we're just exposing this whole lie of this sham of anti-Semitism, what you're saying here. And even we saw on that one tape that the liberal Masonic Zionist Jews were attacking another group of Orthodox Jews that don't believe they should be occupying Israel and that they're being punished by God. This is a group of Jews that we have some hope to convert. I really believe it. Because they'll come out and at least, what's their name? They're a group of Orthodox Jews, and they come out and admit that they're being punished by God for the last 2,000 years and that we don't belong in Israel and all that. Well, they're fighting with the Zionist Jew who believes they should be in Israel. The Zionist Jew calls them anti-Semitic bastards. Now, they're both Jewish.
Yeah.
They will call me an anti-Semitic bastard, and I'm Jewish, right? So it's not about race. I'm just trying to get this into the people's head to wake up on this big lie that the Jews are trying to pull over on you. And he comes in, he says, again, he's trying to say that the anti-Semitic rhetoric can be presented as other. In other words, they're now saying, we're just wanting to get the other side of the story, and we just want to show you that not everything the Israelis do, or not everything that Jews do, is good. There's some evil stuff that some Jews do, okay? Then, we go on to read, then when Jewish leaders cry foul, they can be accused of trying to stifle the debate, you know. It's more than just crying foul. They cry foul and then ban you in the papers. If they just cry foul, fine. You know, we can cry foul too, that's fine. They shut you down in the... Look, Mel Gibson's movie The Passion didn't make it on one major network and was banned in several European countries. It's more than just saying foul. They cry foul and banned it.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than just saying crying foul when you say, I don't like you guys discredit the Holocaust. I cry foul. They banned all talk that would prove the Holocaust is a hoax and even put you in jail in Europe. It's not just crying foul ball. It ain't just that. It's their enforcement of their ways and their absolute deliberate preventing the truth from entering any of the public arenas in which information gets out to the majority of the people. College systems, newspapers, TVs. It's not just crying foul. I went over that years ago about how they control all libraries and they put what books they want and leave out. Well, you go into any library and try to find a lot of these books. You're not. You're going to find what they want in there. It's not just a matter of being called foul. So he says, he goes on to say, he also addressed the problem of anti-Semitism in Europe, where he sees the recent University of College Union call for an academic boycott on Israel. Good. Israeli universities. As a latest incident in a rising trend, I said good. Of course they didn't. A boycott of Israeli universities as a latest incident in a rising trend of what he called measured anti-Semitism. But you go in and try to go against their university. Like, if we ever had a university, which you know, we don't even have it. It don't exist. That's how bad it is. If we try to get creationism into the public school system, wow! They'd only cry foul. They bring it to the Supreme Court and knock it out. Right? So they want to shut down some of these Israeli universities and they're going crazy. And they call that anti-Semitism, you see. Quote, anti-Semitism has never fully been eradicated in Europe, he said. And it never will be. Not the kind they're talking about. Because the way they say it, evil Jews are evil Jews are evil Jews. If he walks like a duck and he quacks like a duck, what is he? He's a duck. If he's an apostate, rebellious Jew who disobeys against God, he's an apostate, evil Jew. It ain't never going to go away. You can try to paint yourself white. You can try to make the public say you're good guys. But even people who have laws upon your heart, non-Catholics can see the things you're doing. They're evil, period. Not because of their race, but because of the rebellion against the one true God whom they have denied. When they denied Christ and the Holy Trinity, the New Covenant. That's why they're evil, and that's why it's never going to go away, and it ain't going to go away for all eternity, because when they die, they go to hell and are punished precisely, primarily for that crime, and burn forever. As what they call anti-Semites in hell. But really what they are is anti-God. That's the real reason, okay? So it says, anti-Semitism has never been fully eradicated in Europe, he said. This is a very troubling for the future. You better believe it's troubling, because you ain't seen nothing yet. When Christ comes the second time, that's when your Antichrist gets like a Bosch with the false prophet, and he goes right down into hell alive, and all you Jews that followed him. You ain't seen nothing yet. The real victory is going to be given to Christ when he comes and wipes out that whole kingdom. You think the Holy Roman Emperors that righteously attacked you and shut your lying, blasphemous mouth down were rough? You ain't seen nothing yet till you see the second coming of Jesus Christ. A recent ADL poll in France, we go on, Germany, Italy, Spain, and Poland found that 51% of the respondents believed that Jews were more loyal to Israel than to the countries in which they lived, he said. An average of 45% of those surveyed said Jews probably had too much influence in the international financial markets. Now, that's still pretty good, although still timid, but you're already talking about, that's 44% of the people that had at least enough guts to say, probably have too much power. What they meant is definitely. And you didn't get the whole story. Because there's at least another 25 or 30% that believe the same thing, but were afraid to answer it on the poll.
Yeah.
But when they come out and say these things publicly, the Jews start to quake. I said that too. They start to get nervous. They start because people are starting to wake up to their plot. And this is necessary, by the way, as I said again, for us to convert these people and to get them into the church. And then when the Jews find out that this conversion and this turning against them gets to a critical level, that's when Antichrist strikes worldwide. In 1 hour, and I believe in one day, with limited nuclear strikes, and comes to power and shuts everything down. But at that point, we're going to have a solid group in here, a core group, which is going to be fighting against the Antichrist, and he's not going to be able to shut us up. He's not going to be able to shut us down. We're going to frustrate him at every turn, we're going to attack him at every turn, and we're going to speak for the true God, and we're going to attack him. And that's going to be his only enemy then in the world at that time. What a great day that's going to be. Because it's going to be easier for goodwill people, because there's only going to be two choices at that time. Even the goodwill people who are not yet Catholic are going to see that God, the true God, is with us, and that's the Catholic God. And people, you just keep an eye on that and see what's going to happen here. Now, it goes on, it says, close to half believed that American Jews control U.S. policy in the Middle East. See? Almost 50%. So they're getting nervous. On the one hand, Foxman said, Europe has turned around on the issue of anti-Semitism and that it has stopped denying it and started doing things to fight against it. Unfortunately, we don't see those things impacting. You know why? Because people aren't really telling you the truth. They're only doing it to keep a university job or to eat, and they get fed up finally.
Yeah.
How long could you make the Germans lie? And they're guilty for lying. And the Frenchmen. We are sorry for the Holocaust. We are sorry for our sins of anti-Semitism and the church's sins of anti... How long are you going to... How long can people lie like that?
Yeah.
And they're lying.
Yeah.
They're lying. Just so they can have their pleasures, their economic power, and the goods that the Jews are giving them because they control their economies. But my thing too is, when are people going to finally say, shut up already about your anti-Semitism? I'll punch you right in the face and give you a real reason to start making a stink. And that's what's happening. He's acting surprised that this is happening, you know, that there's a rebound. He thought that they were really taking root. Yeah, well, you really were taking root with some of the high-level Masonic people that are really at the top level, and they fooled the dumb sheep. And most of the dumb sheep are still going to be fooled in the end. We know that. They're not going to listen. But not all of the sheep are that dumb. Some of them are getting fed up with it. And they're saying, I don't want to hear it no more. And then the mere fact that when they come out and criticize something like Carter did about a Israeli military force over there, it's tyrannical, benevolent behavior, then everybody starts to say, wait a second, I'm beginning to see something here. These Jews are really? That's why they're worried, because mainstream people are beginning to say it now. They're saying, this has got nothing to do with anti-Semitism the way the Jew portrays it. It's got nothing to do with racism. And anybody who questions them on any matter and says a Jew is evil for any reason is called an anti-Semite. So this way, they're free to come to power, corruption, commit every type of gross sin and every type of lie and get caught doing it, and nobody can say anything against them or they're going to be smeared with the anti-Semite label. Now, So Foxman is admitting that there is a turn here now. While Foxman called for the world Jewish community to do all it could to fight anti-Semitism, he rejected the idea that the Israeli government should become involved. The move, he said, could damage Israeli's relationship with other countries while doing little help to these to those countries' Jews. Yeah, of course, once that happens, everybody's going to start to perk up, you know?
Exactly.
And that will happen. And when Israel does do that, when their Antichrist comes to power, it's limited nuclear strikes.
Yeah.
This guy's then going to come to power like a lightning, not like it says our Lord's coming in a second time. That's one thing I don't want to get into, that's another issue. But you can tell the real Christ comes from heaven like lightning. But the Antichrist is not going to come like that, not that quick, not that abrupt. But fairly quick in the sense of he's going to have limited nuclear strikes, dominate the world, and then you're going to see the guy coming out on TV or all public networks. Even the devil's going to start having to appear to people, even in what appears to be miraculous ways in their houses, even without television sets. All that kind of stuff's going to happen when he comes to power. But he's already saying, what Foxman is really saying here is here, we don't want the Israeli government to get involved yet. It's too early. If they do, we're not yet ready for our full plans to take effect. But when the time comes, if it gets to 75% and the people really start to perk up, then we're going to have Israel get involved, the state itself. Because right now Israel's got so many nuclear weapons over there, and they have also nuclear bombs planted under every major city. They know where they are, and they can set them off anytime they want. And they have other things like that going on. So they're really almost ready to take the world. They just maybe have a few more things to wrap up. But when they see this thing escalating to the point where it becomes very dangerous, then that's when Antichrist comes to physical power. Now, it ends up by saying, if we have a conference on anti-Semitism, he said, sure, it could be here, but it would be better for it to be in Brussels. I think Israel is the ultimate answer to anti-Semitism, but as a place of refuge. The law of return is the most powerful weapon for fighting anti-Semitism that the Jewish people could have ever created, end quote. Well, of course, the law of return, the whole creation of the state of Israel is a final day sign, because it's an abomination of desolation in a place where it doesn't belong. Our Lord said that. And all the popes said that. It's a de fide. The Jews have no right to reoccupy Israel unless they accept Christ and become Catholic. But at the same time, it's admitted in scriptures that there's going to be a time where they're going to be an abomination of desolation in a place where they don't belong, and that's the state of Israel. So this is just a little thing to warn all you people again against the false claims of anti-Semitism. And I challenge all you lying Jews out there to find one statement in my writings or even in Jimmy Carter's book. I didn't read it. I don't have to read it. But I never heard him say anything that he hates Jews because they're racially Jews. Or he didn't even say Jews are evil because they're racially Jews. He said it because of some political and tyrannical military maneuvers. You're never going to find in any of my writings that I said, I believe Jews are evil because they're racial Jews. I'd have to believe I'm evil then because I'm a Jew. Jesus is evil because he's a Jew. Mary's evil because she's a Jew. I never said that, never will, never. God forbid if I should ever say such a thing. So you better back off with this anti-Semitism thing, because we're going to come at you like bulls on this issue. You know, and if you try to attack us on this, we're going to invoke our one true God, the Catholic God, to smite you. So I'm warning the world out there, too, to be aware of what you're looking at here now. Okay, that'll be the end for now of the sermon. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording is produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. Visit our St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us, or email me, Richard Joseph Michael Ibrani, at rjmi@johnthebaptist.us, or send for a catalog to the just mentioned address.